Hey guys, welcome back to Tom Girl TV. We are on episode 11 and we're going on a big adventure with the Muir Project. Stay tuned.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
Some nice music. Woo! All right, guys, welcome back to Tom Girl. I'm your host, JJ Juergens, and I'm joined here today by some really dear friends of mine I'm so excited to have. We have Jen Serena and Jason Fitzpatrick from the Muir Project.
Hello.
Hey, guys.
Hi. Thank you for having us.
Thank you for coming. Can you tell everybody real quick where to follow you on social media?
Sure. For the Muir Project, everything is at... The Muir Project.
At the Muir Project. It's very easy.
So it's very easy to find us.
Yeah. T-H-E-M-U-I-R Project.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then your own personal creative.
Yeah. So Rick and I, you can follow us at serenacreative.com.
Okay, great.
Yeah.
All right. Well, let's start off talking about this film, Mile and a Half, that you guys created, produced, trekked through. Mm-hmm. I want to know first, just how did this idea first come to fruition?
Jason?
Yeah. Well... It's kind of a long story, hopefully not too uninteresting for this medium. But originally, I had thought of the idea when HD came out. I got an HD TV kind of early on, and there was like no programming for it. This is how long ago this idea first started. It was like HD TVs had just come out, and they kept replaying like the same five shows over and over again, because that's all they had in HD. So like the light bulb was like, well, what would be a really cool thing to do in HD, you know? To air on TV, it seemed like kind of an easy thing. Well, cut to what, 8-9 years later, everything was in HD. So by that time, that had already gone. But the idea of doing a documentary on the John Muir Trail had been in my head, and I had gotten the idea when I did a part of the trail on a different trip called the Ray Lakes Loop, which is kind of a popular thing. And you do a stretch of the trail. I'm like, oh, that would be an amazing thing to cover. So that was the original idea, and then I met Rick and Jen. And we started, it kind of had been talked about, and I think probably for four, five, 6 years, we'd kind of talked about it, and then finally we just decided to go out there and do it. And of course, at that time, we didn't even know if we were going to do a documentary or a feature documentary. We thought we were going to just do like a little 5-minute...
Pretty video
or something like that.
A few pretty pictures.
Yeah.
I think the goal at that point was finish the trail.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
That was the big goal.
Yeah, yeah.
We do it?
And it was actually kind of a big goal. I think in a normal year it isn't. And this is an interesting because this year is the first big snow year since the year we did it, when we did it in 2011. It's been dry in the drought. And I mean, you could go up there sometimes in May and there would have been less snow than when we were doing it in July and August. So this is the first year since the year we did it. When there's a lot of that challenge, we're going to have like snow on all the passes and to hike through all that. So,
because when you did it, it was like 200%, right?
Yeah,
the
exactly.
amount of snow that's normally there.
Yeah.
So, this is another dangerous year, though.
Yeah. There's already been some unfortunate incidents and people swept downstream and that kind of stuff. Oh. Yeah.
So, how was the pre-planning process? How did you map out like the gear you were going to take, what route you were going to take, what things you wanted to accomplish?
The gear was easy. We actually did a planning trip on that. We all met up at Ojai and did a couple nights and went back and tested everything out.
Except Jen, who didn't test out her boots.
Oh, my God. Yeah. I truly had two pairs of left shoes.
Oh, yeah.
I had two pairs of boots, but I only brought the left shoe from each boot.
And that was what you took on the trail?
This was
in your test.
That was the test one. Yeah. And that was the one that, so we said, oh, well, there's an Army surplus store up the street. I'm going to go grab a pair of boots, which everyone knows is the best way to start a trail with brand new boots. Bad idea. So we made it through.
Yeah.
And it was a good day. It snowed on us overnight. And then for the route... Jason had done a good portion of it, so a lot of it was kind of based on his info, and then we all kind of sat down together and said, okay, how much we think we can do with this day, and let's just put this on the map and see this. Here's what our elevation change is going to be. We just sort of mapped it out, and part of the reason why we needed to map it out was we had to have food drops.
Yeah.
We had to pre-plan those. So pre-planning our menus for an entire month is. And that's, 4 months in advance when we did that? Mm-hmm. So just try and think today, what am I going to want 4 months from today?
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And that's what we did. So.
And she was our chef. She did an amazing job. She did all the research and picked out like things. Then we all got together. If you watch the opening credits, you can see us as we're packaging all the meals, you know. And she would have like a list and a menu, and it'd be like, you know, 4 cups of rice, you know, this bag of this and this. And then we all kind of got together and we did it over a day, and we packaged up all our meals and stuff for the trip. And that was a long 2-3 months before we even set out on the trail, I think.
Wow. Yeah.
Yeah, so you got to prep early.
And then booking, that the thing I still am amazed about is that we booked, like, a mule to meet us at 3 weeks into the trip between this certain couple of hours, So we had to be at this spot and this day in these couple of hours to meet. And I'm still amazed.
And you made it.
And it was super close, too. I mean, it was like 10 minutes. We got there. 10 minutes later, the guy...
He just appeared as if he was waiting for us.
Yeah, it was pretty neat.
So for the people who haven't seen the film yet, tell about how many miles you hiked and how many days you were out there.
We hiked, I think it was around... It's not that we started at a little bit of a different trailhead, so we hiked a little further than normal. I think we figured it out as around 236 miles, and we did it over 24 days. Mm-hmm. So, and you know, the miles are one thing; it's the up and the down, and the is the hard part. You know, there's a lot of elevation gain.
Most days are at 10,000.
Yeah. You get up around. You pretty much spend most days around 10,000 feet, and then you go up, come back down, up, come back down. You know, so it's a lot.
Can you talk about some of the other challenges you guys faced while you were out there? I know I saw some blistered feet.
Well, again, I was me and my shoes. Again, I was basically breaking in my boots because I realized the boots I was training in the whole time really were a half size too small. And I realized it would be better to basically break in a new pair of boots than to take a pair that would ruin my feet. So, yes, I ended up with 13 toes at one point with all of the blisters and
And then the snow,
a lot of duct tape and stuff.
The feet, and then the snow added a whole different element to it.
Yeah,
navigation at times was hard because normally you're used to following a trail, but you know you were very reliant at times on the footprints from other people who have traveled through there. And a lot of times, if you had a long stretch of snow, you'd be following people's footprints for maybe, you know, as much as a mile or, you know. And then you get to the end and where you hit the dirt and there's no sign of the trail. Okay. So you're like, you didn't know where you were. You're like, well, I think we're you kind of knew what general direction you were heading in, but you didn't know how far off the trail you were. So that actually slowed us down quite a bit and added, added one challenge.
And then, because of the snow, the water.
Yes. Yeah.
The water was so high that there are places that I am glad we had so many people because it would have been dangerous. It would have been very dangerous to try and cross without a group to run lines or to support each other across and everything. So,
yeah, a couple of those creek crossings, you know, I'm lucky I'm half Irish, half Sasquatch. So size of a Sasquatch, which helped, and then the stubbornness of being Irish. So I was able to sort of stay put. But yeah, I think Jen and our friend Kelly, you know, are both, you know, not quite as tall. So I mean, it's
not quite as tall.
Yeah.
That's a nice
trying to say it nicely, Jen. I'm trying to be nice, Jen.
I believe you nicely put it in the video that you were a height challenge.
Yes.
5 feet tall. It's still to this day, people will watch the movie and then they come meet me. And they're like, oh, I knew you were short, but I didn't know you were that short. I was like,
But you're so strong, right? Yeah. Was that the Bear Creek, the water that we were trying to get over the pole?
And then the big thing about that also was not just our safety, but keeping our gear.
Yeah.
Okay, so because we're not just hiking, we've got all of our gear. So this is sound equipment and several cameras and like...
Yeah, definitely talk more about that because how you wrap that up and how you did protect that.
Well, we put them in dry bags.
Yeah.
And you could put dry bags in quotes because, you know, they
not so dry.
Dryish.
Moist bag.
Yeah, they do.
It's a relative. It's a relative term.
Yeah. So, and then it was in bear bins also.
Yeah.
And then above the head. And then, so it was just as many different precautions on top of precautions as we could take to keep everything dry.
So not only are you kind of challenged getting through these rough waters, but you're also thinking, I got to protect this. We can't let our gear for the film go down.
Sure,
for sure. Well, then I guess that in some ways makes it easier because then you're not as much like worried about yourself.
Yeah.
You're like, I got to go. Focus. I got a thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Let's just keep that dry and we're good. Yeah. It's okay if I'm frozen. Up yeah. To yeah. That's okay. Mm-hmm. The gear's good.
You also had some nights of rain, right, to deal with?
Yeah.
Sometimes.
That's not too bad. I mean, you just kind of expect that. But we did have, a good 5 days, I think, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, where we rain, and then we had hail.
And we had hail.
Rain that went to hail. Yeah. And I remember passing people at one point, and they were, like, hunkered down under the rocks, and they're like, oh, you must be through hikers,
because
there's no reason to be walking in there.
Yeah.
It's okay. We can go.
Yeah.
No problem.
And it was a little hairy. We had to go over one of the passes, Pincho Pass, and there was I think Duran talks about it in the film, but there was, like, thunder and lightning, and we didn't. Usually you get to the top of a pass and you just want to sit down and eat something and relax and celebrate.
Say, yeah, we did it.
But I mean, because of the storm was pretty heavy, we were like, all right, we got to get down. And we could see lightning and hear thunder. So it was kind of a rush to get further, get lower and get, you know, try to find some kind of shelter. There's not a lot of, we were above tree line. And when you go over those passes, almost always, generally speaking, you're almost always above tree line. So it's like nothing, no trees or anything to sort of take the brunt of like a lightning strike. So, you know, it was a little hairy.
We were lucky because we didn't have anybody with altitude sickness.
Right.
Which a lot of people, you know, there were several people in other groups that had to drop out or had to stay put because they had it. And then someone had snow blindness.
That
we met on the trail. So she didn't have sunglasses and spending every day in the snow. And they just happened to luckily camp near doctors.
Yeah, like French doctors or something like that.
And they like helped them, you know, more trail magic. But it's like there's certainly things that could happen, but we did all right.
And so with your crew, only one person dropped out, right?
Poor Z.
You know, want to talk about that a little bit, how it was losing part of the crew?
Well, it was kind of obvious he was not having fun. And to be honest, what's the point of being out there if you're not having fun?
Yeah.
And to his credit, I mean, he really busted his butt. He really tried. I think the hardest thing with him is not only had he not really done a lot of, like, sort of hard hiking, he had never really done anything sort of like that's, like, difficult in, like, the cardio sense. Like, he had done a lot of, like, say, martial arts and other those kind of sports, but not like, you know, okay, for 5 hours, my heart rate's going to be, like, 160. He didn't really know. I don't think he necessarily knew what that meant, right? Like, that okay, your heart rate's going to, you're going to be fine. You feel like you're going to die, but you're not. You just stop. It'll come down.
He was also feeling not well on a couple of the mornings. Like, you could hear him coughing and, everything. So it's just... that was hard. It was really hard to spend all that time planning with somebody and then know that he doesn't feel like he can do it. And we have to support him, but we have to support everybody in the team too, right? Mm-hmm. So, and because if anyone's not at the same level, everyone has to pitch in and help. And he knew that everyone was having to do that for him. Mm-hmm. And so he decided that for the good of the team, that it just wasn't the right fit. He could have done it.
Yeah.
I know. I believe that 30%, at least 30% of doing these through hikes is mental.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like, you believe you can do it. You can do it. And he just didn't feel like he could or didn't feel like that was the challenge he wanted to do at that point. So,
and he talks about that in the film, and I think a very selfless act of him to be like, you know, he didn't want to take away from your experience, you know.
But it was sad. I cried when he left the Jason totally cried.
I did. I'm very manly. I don't cry.
He didn't cry, but
Jason's
but it's a good story.
Yeah.
It's nice to say that.
Well, it was nice that he met up with you later, though. There was a part where he was able to come down.
And it was so great that he left his Pop-Tarts.
Yes, he did. And a further drop. We had his, like, we were all excited. We were, you know, we were all sort of smart and had, like, somewhat, like, nutritious thoughts in our planning.
Yeah.
He just, it was all junk food. It was, like, Pop-Tarts. And, like, we're going to get to eat Z's food, you know.
And how good does that stuff taste after being, because
so
I know
good.
You got a couple Snicker bars along the way, too, and you can get, taste those things.
Good. I can't.
Yeah.
It's not what it really tastes like.
Though. Yeah.
It's, like, magical.
It's much more. It's much, much more. It's, like, you know, it's a... They're fantastic. we've talked over the years, even when he got back in touch with us, the guy that gave us the Snickers bars, and I've emailed back and forth with him over there. That's how much Snickers bars mean. He came to our screening when we did it in Berkeley. That's how much they mean. They're that important.
Well, even though you guys lost one along the way, you guys gained a lot of new people along the way. Can you talk about about the other people that you ran into and joined your trek?
Sure. I think Kelly and Dave were the first ones to join.
Right when we lost Z, we gained David and Kelly.
Oh, yeah. It was at the same camp.
And Tuolumne Meadows.
Teachers from Colorado, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it was great to have them along because they've had they've done the Colorado Trail and they've done a ton of things and they knew a lot of wilderness
stuff.
First aid and everything. So it was great to have two members, and they're just good people.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Just good people. And it was fun because they were sort of learning how we all operate. You know, Dave said he would walk along and he'd say, oh, there's a sound. I wonder if Duran will stop and
record it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That looks cool over there. And they'd stop and take it. So it was kind of fun to see it through their eyes, too, of like our process.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So. Mm-hmm. That was a lot of fun.
Yeah, yeah.
And then you had some artists, young artists, kids.
Yeah, and kind of interesting on a side note, it was a brother and sister, the sister, Kristen, actually started the John Muir Trail again today. So she's going out. And,
she's going again.
She's going again. Great. She only picks snow years, apparently. But she's doing it again, and they were great. And they were bringing, kind of like we were bringing all our camera equipment, they were bringing paints and canvases. Yeah.
Everyone thought they were just as crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think they were more crazy. They're crazy. They're younger, so they, you know, they're a lot, they're whatever. But we're still in touch with them. They're really wonderful.
Yeah.
They're doing great. And Kazu, we met Kaz.
Yeah.
She was from Japan, and she was hiking the trail by herself, and she joined up with us for the end as well. So yeah, there was
sort of crisscrossed with her.
Yeah,
a lot.
Uh huh.
And then I'm trying to remember which pass it was.
I think it was after. I think it was before Forrester. She met us in Vidette Meadows, kind of when she joined us, and that's like after Glen Pass and before Forrester.
And so. It was one of those things we said, "Oh, you want to join us?" And I think there was that language. She was just like, "I don't know what that really means."
Yeah. Yeah.
But I'll stay here with you, and we'll see you tomorrow.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
And then she's come back to the States several times.
That's
and
great.
She hiked the whole Pacific Crest Trail.
Yeah, she did the Pacific Crest Trail. Yeah. And while she was hiking it, we were actually screening mile and a half, like somewhere along the trail, and we were able to get her from the trail, and she could watch.
That was the first time she actually saw the film, too.
Oh, I think so,
yeah. So it was just really cool to, like, bring it all back.
And then the Opus Orange guys, who do the soundtrack for the film, joined as well. Met you guys along the way.
Yeah. That one was planned, though.
Yes. All these other I didn't know till today.
Yeah. All these others. There's some people that have watched the film and said, "Wow, that you ran into those musicians."
Yeah.
Well, that one was planned.
Yeah.
We were supposed to meet all of those guys.
Yeah, and they actually went on that Ojai trip that we had done, the practice trip as well. They were a part of that as well. So we knew they were friends with Durand. They had worked together with Duran and done a lot of backpacking together before this, and they couldn't take the whole time off as much as they would like to, but they wanted at least, you know, it was great to have them there at the end.
Yeah.
So you guys who watch, the guys who play the music towards the end, or the middle half, I guess, those are the guys who do the whole soundtrack to the film.
Yeah.
Yes.
And I know you guys have done a music video for them since and have stayed connected.
Rick has done several,
music.
I think, right? Yeah. Two or three for them, so
Yeah, that's great.
And they've done music on other projects and stuff, too. So they're really good guys.
I mean, the talent you guys had just in that group. You got director, photographer, cinematographer, sound, artists, painters, music. It's amazing.
I guess it makes sense that we made a movie out of it. We didn't really... I think it might have been on Jason's mind in the back of his head, but thank God it wasn't on mine because I'm not really okay with being on camera. But there was so much of it that was just like, just talking to Duran. Like, of course I'll be silly.
I think that's what's so fun, though, is you guys are so totally relatable to... You know, to everybody, you know, those of us who are, I mean, I know you guys hike a lot and stuff, but I think ones that aren't hardcore, serious, still find it like so relatable and, you know, intrigued by it.
I think it's funny. And one of the jokes we have is that it's like, you know, if you remember, we released that first video, which is a 3-minute thing to an Opus Orange song. called Almost There. Mm-hmm. And our joke is that's the movie we set out to make, and Mile and a Half is the behind the hour and a half behind the scenes of the making of the 3-minute video. That's kind of like how that worked out. Uh-huh. And I had always had it in my mind to do the documentary, and I thought that that was something that might happen, but it was never like, we were never in it. You know, I was never going to be in the documentary on the John Muir Trail. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
We were not going to be a part of it, and it wasn't until we got back and we started going through it and... You know, and luckily we made the mistake of giving Durand a camera, you know, a handy cam. And, that, you know, that ended up being the footage that, that made, like, the story part of the film. Uh-huh. You know what I mean? Because Rick and I tended to focus more on the beauty or
except
on the
hiking. Interviews. Yeah.
The interviews. We did do the interviews.
We did do interviews at night after.
Yeah. For the, again, for the behind-the-scenes piece of the movie. That
right,
we were,
exactly.
The original movie we thought we might make. Or we even had, there was talk of an art exhibit at one time as well. That was another thing we were considering doing. So maybe something for that, you know, like if we were to have an exhibit, you know, like behind-the-scenes or
something
just
sort of
like,
interactive. That's,
exactly.
That's what we talked about a lot.
Yeah, yeah.
So talk about how that was when you were, as you were hiking then. Like, I know you touch on it briefly a little bit in the film, but Rick would sometimes go up ahead or Durant would go do sound. Can you talk about more of the technical elements of how you got there? The shots that you got and the photos that you got. And
you pretty much just described that. Yeah, I mean,
that's pretty much what.
Pretty much it. Rick was the good one at running ahead. You know, I was, you know, and then you didn't camp. I mean, we'd stop a couple times a day, and like, you know, whenever you'd stop, you'd try to get some kind of a shot or time lapse or just a shot, you know, and try to get some shooting done.
Mm-hmm. And since we all had sort of a similar mission of of hiking at a pretty similar pace.
Yeah.
But then also knowing what we wanted to get along the way, and that's going to be different because we didn't know we were making a documentary. We weren't making an art exhibit. We were just doing this for us, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
We were seeing things that resonated with us and made sure, like, I have to take a picture of it.
Yeah.
He has to, you know, grab some video of it. So I think because we all knew, like, the love for ourselves, it was easy to, like, oh, well, you know, Jason's up on that hilltop. He'll be back. He's getting that shot now. You know, and something like that. So it was, like, just a great fit.
Yeah.
That just somehow worked.
Yeah, it all came together.
It just somehow worked.
I think, have you already been showing some of the photos as we're talking there, James? Because otherwise, okay. So you guys probably already saw, we have some action shots that showed them setting up the cameras and walking along the trail. And you can definitely go to their website and see way, you know, so many more of these. And Jen on her Serena Creative has a ton of her amazing photography shots on there as well. Okay, Jen, from the girl's perspective a little bit, I want to talk about, because at this time, one of the challenges for you two was leaving your daughter, you know, behind to do this. But how important was it for you to do this, not only just for you, but for her? And I know the example you want to set for her.
Yeah, I mean, I think that, like, once she was born, there were a lot of things that I changed about myself. Like, I stopped body image. Like, I made sure anyone gave me a compliment, I said, thank you. I didn't, like, demur and whatever, because I wanted her to see that. And so I felt like, I feel like a lot of what I do is so that she can see things that I hope that she can take on for herself. And I wanted her to see that you can be a mom, but you can have these other adventures and still be a good mom and have a career and or not have a career. You know what I mean? Like, those are all options that you can do, whatever makes you happy, fulfilled. You know, just don't cut off opportunities is kind of what we want her to know.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I liked it. Then was it a year later you guys went back and then at the end of the video and she's hiking a little bit of it?
Yeah. She's a big hiker now. That was one of her top 10 things she wanted to do this year was to do more hikes. Mm-hmm. And so we've been out and about. Now it's fourth grade, so the national parks are available to her. Through the fourth grade experience, is that what it's called?
I think it was, every fourth grader in a park.
Yeah, so so now we're going to head out and do as many national parks as we can for her, too. So, yeah.
Well, and you and Rick, I've always admired your guys' relationship and the way you guys raise her. Can you talk about how the decision to, you know, because a lot of people, and no judgment, but some people decide, you know, not to travel as much with their kids, or they don't want to take their kids on adventures. And I feel like from the get-go, you guys have always kind of taken her and gone
for
it.
Get up and go. Yeah, by the time she was 2, she had 26 airplane flights. So, yeah. So I get a gamut of responses from moms, whether or not that's amazing or that you're horrible. and they're probably right somewhere along the way. I've probably been all of those things. But I just want her to know. I mean, there's so much amazing things in this world, and we want her to know that if she wants it, she can go get it. You know.
You've never been a horrible mom, by the way.
No, I don't believe it either.
I don't believe it.
Not for one second.
And if any of them want to say that, they can come and fight me.
Yeah.
Thanks.
You're welcome. Yeah.
Awesome. I think it's great. Okay, let's talk. So any more surprises or the things you found more challenging or something that you got out of this film that, you know, you never expected from the...
Wow, we used to answer these questions
all the time.
That's why I'm putting you on the spot on this one.
I've been
We're no longer in the zeitgeist.
No worries if you don't.
What things got from it?
Yeah, like you walked away, anything like surprises or any like challenges you overcame or anything that, you know, just surprised you that you didn't see coming that, you know, you took away
from the challenging thing is just the trail. I mean, it's hard. I mean, especially in a snow year. I mean, yeah, you know. Going over those passes is hard. I mean, it's hard to do that without snow, but when you don't have a trail.
We're a happy, positive group.
Yeah.
But that didn't mean it wasn't hard.
Yeah.
And that didn't mean there weren't days when you're like, don't talk to Jen.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
She's having a day.
Yeah.
So, you know, but I think that we chose to be and to record things on the trail sort of how you remember things.
Yeah.
You know, like... after childbirth, you're like, oh, having a kid, that wasn't, you know, but when you were in it, But I think that's, we just wanted people to see that side of it, that, there's hard, painful things, but you know what, at the end of the day, what I remember is the people that we were with, and just those new experiences that we were able to take in every single time. I mean, I was surprised that our group grew.
Mm-hmm.
I just didn't, mean, we're always welcoming, but I just didn't think of that happening, you know, because a lot of hiking is kind of solitary, right? So
especially they stayed with you till the end,
right?
Yeah,
like,
yeah,
it was not just like, oh, we'll hike with you for a day and then kind of go
come
off
in
our
and
own
out, because there are several groups we, you know, sort of went in and out with, but I mean, we all like summited together, and that's pretty special. So that's something new. I really didn't think of that. And then how hard it is to make a movie.
Yeah. That is hard.
That's something that we're all sort of in the industry in different levels, and so I figured we could work it out, and we did.
Yeah.
But it was a lot of work.
What I'll say, what's funny, it's not even the making of the movie.
No.
I don't know if you agree with me. That's easy. That's the easiest part, almost, is the making it and getting it there. It's the actually then, like, having getting it out there and, like, the marketing side of it and the business side of it is very hard. And it's like, if that's not... That's something none of us had experience with. I think very few people have experience, especially now. It's like any experience that we have is now like four years old, and now everything is completely different.
Right.
Mm-hmm. I mean, we were this close to signing with one company for our distribution that 2 months later was gone. I mean, if we had signed with them, you know, and luckily the only reason we didn't do it, I think, was because you didn't want to move the store over or something. And she had built the store. She did so much, by the way, amazing. Jen did so much amazing stuff for this movie. Like a lot of the really thankless stuff too, like the store and that kind of stuff. So it's like, but she didn't want to do it. So we're like, oh yeah, okay. You know, Jen, cause she put all that effort in it. We definitely listen to her on that, you know, for sure. And luckily it all worked out very well for us. I mean, we got kind of lucky in that regard, I think. I mean, everything we did was at least, as far as we can tell, right? I mean, who knows if someone else might have made it bigger or done this, but I mean, it worked out, you know,
for
better.
Our first time.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I think that I wouldn't have picked a different audience for our first movie either, because the hiking community is so welcoming and so wonderful. So
and positive and you know, and I think supportive. They were waiting. I mean, it seemed like they were kind of waiting for something because there were very few. There were a few, but they tended to be more like, okay, if you hear about it and you go to their website, you can buy it, you know, or they were in festivals or they do their own screenings. But I don't recall seeing one that had made it to say was on Netflix or was on cable. So So I mean, it was kind of in that sense, it was one of the first movies to sort of hiking movies at least.
National Geographic TV.
Talk
more for those documentary filmmakers out there. Like, get a little more descriptive of like, okay, so what was the process? Like, you talk about the store. What did the store entail, or how, you know, how did you find your distribution?
Well, the store really was because of our Kickstarter campaign.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so we had created an entire community through the Kickstarter campaign, and it was obvious that people wanted to to own it, to be a part of it. So that's really where the store kind of came out of, because it was incentives and goodies from Kickstarter that then just sort of carried over to continue to be available for people. And I think it's because we had that community that let people know that the viewers are there. Mm-hmm. So, and mm-hmm. we made it into Dances with Films, mm-hmm. and we were the first film to sell out two screenings.
Yeah.
At the same time. Not, I don't mean like a screening today, a screening tomorrow. I'm like, it was so big they had to put two screenings together, and they both sold out.
Yeah.
And people were driving in.
From like San Diego.
Yeah, well,
Bay Area,
San Francisco.
Yeah,
I mean, like 3-4 hours. Like, it took longer to drive than to watch the movie twice.
Yeah.
And then they still had to get back home.
Yeah.
So, I mean, there was just such an excitement and an intensity about that. And because of that, we won the Audience Award, and there were distributors, so you know, it just it snowballed in that way.
Yeah, the Gravitas Ventures, who's our distributor, they were sponsoring. They're one of the sponsors for that film festival for Dances with Films. So they were there and they were present.
On our radar, but we weren't on theirs
until
we sold to.
That was an amazing. It's funny, getting all nostalgic here, but that was such an amazing moment because I mean, we all worked so hard, like, to get... I mean, you probably saw some of it, JJ, but we worked so hard to, like, get that thing made and get it finished and get it done. But you never know. I mean, you could put all that effort, all that money, all that passion into something, and no one can want to see it or nothing can happen. So, I mean, when you actually had that premiere screening and there were lines out the door and
people
all
were
that,
people were laughing when you wanted to laugh and crying and maybe laughing when we didn't know.
Yeah,
that
was another funny thing. Like, you don't know what people are going to respond to. And you know, like, people laughed a lot at, like, Z's comments, for example, in the screenings. And for us, that was, like, the really sad,
like, so
emotional stuff. You know what I mean? Because, you know, that was hard. Like, we're like, oh, my God, that's so sad. But in the movie, people are laughing. You're like, oh, my God.
But I think it was just, like, an emotional release.
Not a bad way.
Yeah.
Not in a mean sense.
Oh, yeah, no, it's
Yeah. So that was really great to, like, have that feeling.
Yeah.
Everybody was just...
Yeah. And it's like, you put sad music under there. Why are they laughing?
The release. Yeah. And then to watch your, you know, because I've watched it too, grow on social media and your fan base.
Yeah.
And we still get, you know, probably once a week.
Yeah.
Something on social media or an email or, you know, text or something that says, thank you so much for this film.
Mm-hmm.
It did something. It inspired me to go, or it, you know, made me understand why my brother loves hiking so much, or, you know, something like that. Or some people with, like, a disability that they could never do the trail, and they're like, now I felt like I could experience. I mean, it's just, like, beautiful, like, comments that people are always making, and it's just...
Yeah.
It's good. And, like, Jason... like to say that's how we get paid because you know, you don't go into documentaries like to make the big bucks. You do it because it's something you believe in and you want to share. And the response in that way has been you know, really invaluable.
Now this led to, you guys just did another short film as well called No Attack. Can you talk about that one a little bit?
Sure. There are two gentlemen that we met on the JMT. Jim was doing his 50th anniversary of the first time that he had done the trail. And so he was commemorating it with another friend. They're in their 70s and they're doing the you know, a section of the trail. And these guys were flying down these, like, snowy sections like it's nothing. And then we just, you know, said hi. And then Jim has a little piece in the film. And then they would just let us know of the things that they are doing. And every year they do some crazy river trip. And we finally got our accident together that we could go with them.
Like, after we had gotten back, you know, we had been in contact with, I think Rick was in contact with them. And so we decided, well, you know, it was such an interesting story. So we went up to interview him. Me and Duran and Rick went up to interview him. And we saw pictures on the wall of him and Tip on all these rivers. And we asked him, well, what's this? And he told us, right? He's like, hey, maybe someday you guys should join us. We're like, yeah, but, you know, we didn't think it would really happen. It seemed like one of those things. And then they invited us to go. So it was pretty amazing. So I guess it was three summers ago. How long ago? When were we? Two summers ago. But yeah, we went up to Gates of the Arctic National Park up in Alaska in the Brooks Range. And we
above the Arctic Circle.
And we spent about 2 weeks going down the No Attack River with them. and just filming them and their experiences. And yeah, it was amazing. It's really beautiful up there.
And if you want to talk about inspiring,
yeah,
you meet with those two guys in their 70s humping
yeah.
oil drums. Because yeah. a bear for the bears, that's what they were carrying their food in, and just feeling totally at home. Because the first time, first time we had a grizzly experience up in Alaska, we were maybe not so calm.
Yeah.
And they're just like, oh,
yeah,
look at all the salmon carcasses. They're only eating this piece of it. They don't want us. They're not hungry. We're like, okay.
So you told me before the show about a funny bear story. Can you share that with the audience?
Sure. So, yeah, we had seen a couple of bears along the way, but the most, like, active and interesting was a mother bear and her two cubs, which, of course, is the most dangerous of situations to be in with a bear. But luckily, we were on the river, and they were crossing, like, a little small stream from one path to get to another little, beach, and we were paddling by them, and I was shooting as Rick and Jason were paddling, and all of a sudden she charged, and I said, "Oh my God, you guys, you got to paddle faster! She is after us!" And then I lowered the camera, and I realized I had a telephoto lens. She was nowhere near, and the guys were just like, "What?"
Yeah,
what?
We were far away from that bear, and we were going in the opposite direction too.
We were far, away.
But it was pretty funny. Poor Jen, I get it. Yeah. And when you see the pictures, you understand it. Like if you should look for it. It's on the Serena Creative, and it's on the Mirror Project Instagram. If you go a year or two back, if you really want to dig that deep, it's
you
there.
You don't have to dig too far because I saw it today. So I think it is on your.
Yeah, it's on the standing Serena Creative.
It does look like, because that's one thing I was like, whoa, you were really close.
Yeah, but we weren't. We were
respectful of the bears. They were not as respectful of us because one of the very first one we had came out and checked out the whole Kessler dolly rig.
Picked up the canvas carrying case and gave it a taste and then dropped it and walked off. That was our first grizzly bear.
First one.
Well, I had seen him in Montana. But that was like the first sort of like, oh, there's a grizzly bear 200 feet away from me.
Yeah.
Luckily, they weren't. They were adolescent. They weren't huge.
It didn't matter.
Yeah, yeah, they're still scary. Yeah.
Those guys did seem more inquisitive. They didn't. Yeah. They didn't look aggressive or anything. But it was so funny because I spotted the first one.
Yeah.
And I said, oh, yeah, I was just looking down there, and I was describing seeing the first one, and then I looked back up, and there's another one!
Yeah.
So I'm like, okay! Yeah. So, and that was the second bear.
The second bear was kind of afraid of us, and was kind of afraid of us, and it took a wide berth around us. So. But the first one came and checked out our camera setup, so... Someday there will be a behind the scenes of No Attack. Yeah. I don't know where it's been in the works for 2 years.
Yeah.
And one of these days, hopefully, we'll have time to get to it. But and you'll see some scenes from that. Yeah, it's funny. You think, oh yeah, I'm going to be cool, and you know, of course, I thought I put the lens cap on the camera without turning it off. So there's like 30 seconds of black, you know, where the, like the bear. I didn't think to turn off the camera. So, apparently it wasn't as cool or tough as I thought I was. that's okay.
I was in between. Oh my gosh. Yeah, oh my gosh. I know. Yeah. Oh my gosh, this is so cool. This is so cool, you guys.
Yeah. Well, also one thing, you really know who's in charge up there. Cause there's like every, like sandbar, every like soft earth place, there's bear prints like everywhere.
Yeah.
Like you'll go to like a long big beach and there'll be like 20 tracks, sets of like grizzly bear tracks up and down on there.
Yeah,
you can't
forget.
Yeah, you don't forget.
You're in bear country.
Yeah, you don't. There's not much question about who's in charge there and the fact that they're present. So,
and it's very. Yeah. This is Jason's booming voice is very welcome.
Yeah.
He had a special bear voice that he did to
use to kind of scare him away.
That's right.
Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah. But I think like I definitely want to see because that one was over so because that was like 14 minutes, right? And those two guys are so adorable and cute. But it is like a motivational to see these two guys in their 70s can get out and get doing it. You know, there's no excuse for you know people to do these things while they can and see it. You know, I thought the one I can't remember which one it was, but I liked him saying how he really felt at like one with nature and in his most normal state versus not being in the big city or being in you know society. How he really can feel, you know, and I think that is. True for, you know, a lot of us when we get out in nature, you finally feel happy in this release of just letting go of the cell phone, letting go.
Yeah, it gives you that, that joy to keep going and to get back out there.
Yeah. So any upcoming projects from the Mirror Project coming up? or
not technically mirror project because Jason's doing this one on his own. Yeah. We have a couple things we've been wanting. The Jim and Tip the Noah Took one was originally part of a bigger thing, so hopefully we can keep that that whole thing going, segments of things to make a feature.
Yeah. Jen sent out a message about 6 weeks ago. She's kind of in charge. Not officially, but if Jen sends out a message saying, hey, we should start talking about doing something else, then we're like, okay, I guess time to start doing something else. And she did that like about 6 weeks ago or something. So I think now we've all been kind of crisscrossing and we've all been traveling, you know, in different places and whatnot. And we haven't had much chance to hang out or talk, but I think we'll probably start talking about some other ones. And I do have, one that I'm sort of finishing up now, hopefully to come out sometime next year, which is also on the John Muir Trail, but it's actually on the people who are trying to get the record, like the speed record for hiking the John Muir Trail. So,
which is at what now?
It's 3 days and 11 hours, which is in some minutes. There's also, it's very crazy. I don't want to go too much into detail on it because there's different types of records. You know, there's the supported and the unsupported. And supported means you have people pacing you and you have people bringing you food and stuff. I'm covering the guys doing it unsupported. So everything on their backs. They're not even allowed to take food from other hikers or any of that kind of stuff.
No Snickers gifts.
No Snickers gifts for them. If they want a Snickers, they have to bring it. So and I'm doing it all. So I'm doing a short documentary on some of them, and I've been interviewing them over the past couple of years. And that's I'm getting there on that one. It's been a busy year outside of my passion project, so I haven't had as much time to work on it as I like. Mm-hmm. But hopefully, for sure, at some point next year, I'll have that out. So.
Yeah, Rick and I have been focusing more on like. Artist stories, pretty much. There's a little short piece on an author illustrator who's just doing her first children's book, and now we've been working on a feature film for the past year about an artist and his muse and how that's all sort of intertwined in Americana and celebration of life and things like that. So. We're deep in that one, too.
Yeah.
Well, Jen, let's show a few of your photos are up there now, too. So Jen is an amazing photographer who I've gone to numerous times when I started out the days out here for headshots. And she's actually still on my voiceover website. Beautiful. I still use that photo all the time. Yeah, but you have such a great eye and just the things that you get and then the added touches you add to your work are just so fantastic.
Well, I really love working with fellow artists and artisans. So a lot of these are musicians and other creatives. And so you really get this give and take, right, when you work with another creative because they have a vision of who they want to be and how they want to be projected. But also, especially for musicians, this is a comedian, but so they each have like a vision of who and how they want to be presented to the world. What's even better for musicians is every year they can reinvent, or every new album they can reinvent. So it's just really fun to sort of play with each new voice that they want to, you know, project and things like that. And I've been working lately with a lot of the networks to do more behind-the-scenes stuff, which is fun because it's more like the documentary kind of stuff, too. So it's been a really neat mix of, like, really controlling the image and then also just being like, okay, this is where we are. How do I best show everyone what's happening here? So it's been a really fun ride.
And I think what you said in the video for the Muir project was different because you were used to mainly shooting people, so it was a challenge for you to try to get the
to do landscapes,
which were beautiful.
Oh, yeah. Thank you. I still sometimes I look at it and I was like, oh gosh, I'm not a landscape photographer.
But I think you are.
But I was doing it, you know, 12 miles, whatever, and doing it. So I'm pretty happy with what I was able to get.
I think Jen can be a photographer of any kind of photography.
Me too.
She's very talented.
I agree. Yeah. So any of you guys looking for a good photographer out there, look her up.
Hire Jen.
Serena Creative website. Yeah. And then Fitzy. I call him Fitzy. Sorry.
Okay.
You are doing, you're going to be a judge for a film
festival. I'm heading up a jury for it's the first year this film festival is happening. It's the Backpacking Light Adventure Film Festival. So they just started accepting submissions. So if you go to backpackinglight.com, you can get more information about that. And it's kind of more geared for like amateur filmmakers as opposed to professional ones. And it's kind of, I think it's just more like, hey, go out there and enjoy yourself, make something and you know, show something imaginative and fun and, you know, and enjoyable. So,
All right, check that out. Okay, we just to wrap us up, we're just about out of time. I'm going to ask you just quick kind of speed round kind of question.
Okay.
You can each answer just a couple of them here. What inspires you?
Oh. Jen face. Shoving her thumb in my face and making me answer a question that she doesn't
taking
want to.
Taking water.
Okay, yeah. I got it. What inspires me is other artisans. Like, I'm always amazed when I see a musician create a new piece of music, an artist who's sculpting something or painting something, and just magically appears. So for me, being able to see everybody else's work is really inspiring, and process, like their process and how they do it. Like, I could never do it, but just in awe of that. So that's a big inspiration for me.
Yeah. I'd have to say nature. I think just Mother Nature, and just like the, you know, just some of the amazing, wonderful, beautiful places that are on this planet that are just, I mean, that's kind of what inspires me. Yeah, trying to go and see those places.
Right,
and,
yeah.
Oh, you have your answer was much better than mine.
No, they're both great. Yeah. Okay. Next one. What motivates you?
Oh, okay. Being a mom is definitely a motivation. Like I mentioned earlier, just trying to be the best role model for her is a big motivation. I have luckily been involved with a lot of nonprofits, and that's a big motivation for me as well, to know that I'm doing good with the work that I'm doing. So those two things sound good. Mm-hmm. I'll say Rick, too.
Yeah.
I'll say my husband, too, because he is just as much my biggest critic as he is my biggest fan. And so he's my everything on that side, too.
Yeah.
Me, right?
Yeah, Jen and Rick. Rick, too. Rick is my biggest fan and my biggest critic as well. I think for me, a lot of it, at least in this world, at least in this kind of thing, what motivates me is you know, working professionally in this business, you don't get to really choose what you're working on. A lot of times, you know, you're working on other people's projects and they have specific things they want. And a lot of times those are, the things that you earn your living on are not the things that you want to be earning your living on, or per se things you'd watch. It doesn't mean they're bad. It doesn't mean they're you know, there's anything wrong with them. It's just, that's a job, right? That's part of having a job. So the thing with this outdoor world and the documentaries on the outdoor stuff and going out, and I love taking pictures and that kind of stuff too, and doing that, is just, it's being creative, which is, you know, kind of my passion, and doing it in the places that I love. So being outside, getting outdoors, it's like, it's a way to sort of, you know, you don't have a lot of time in life. So it's like, well, I love the outdoors and I love being creative. So being able to, you know, do both of those things at the same time, I think that's kind of what motivates me.
Yeah. And Jason's is an amazing photographer too. Like, he just sells himself in the film video world, but he's everything on our Instagram feed, and he's been in several art shows and everything. Mm. So
someday there will be a website.
Yeah.
But there isn't yet. So there's no plug
coming
yet.
Soon.
Someday there will be there will be something like that.
Okay, last one. Top place on your bucket list?
Well, Alaska was on mine, and I got to get out of one.
I know.
New list.
Top place. Mm-hmm. Would you put Patagonia? I know you're going.
I think so. I think I'm going to go next April. At least that's the rough plan. So I think Patagonia is probably number one right now. I kind of want to see. There's all these frozen places, and I want to go before they're no longer frozen. So that's one of them, you know, in Antarctica. So that might even happen at the same time. Who knows? If I'm probably going to be there too late to make it to Antarctica. That's a very brief window. But while I'm down there in the Southern Hemisphere,
I want to do too much.
Yeah, New Zealand.
I want to go dog sledding. I want to see the Aurora Borealis. I want to kayak with the whales.
Yeah.
I want to do it all. I know. My bucket list is too long to pick.
The Aurora, I really want to see it too. And then, well, we were both up north of the Arctic Circle, and then I was there in Norway last summer. And both times, if you're there in the summer, it doesn't get dark. So even if the phenomenon might be happening, you know, the solar radiation or the radiation or whatever it is might be happening, you can't see it because it's still sunny out at 1 a.m. So so I've been up there, but I just haven't had a chance to see it. So that's another thing I'd really love to do. I'd really love to see the aurora. That's on my list as well. So.
All right. That's it for my questions.
Oh, okay.
Okay. Last but not least, tonight, we only have a couple more minutes. Every week we do a Tom Girl of the Week. Today it is You.
Jen,
me?
Tom Girl. That's so great. That's awesome.
Go, Tom Girl. Okay. Yeah, because you inspire me. And this is a picture of you and your daughter. And I just think, like, you're raising a little Tom Girl yourself. Mm. And just, I think the lessons that you show her, the way you have your career, you're such a kind and sweet, passionate person. You and Rick's love, like, everything. It's just so much. And so I just
thank you.
I admire you. And, yeah, you're a Tom Girl of the week.
Yeah, wow.
All right, guys. Well, that's it for today. Thank you so much for coming. So fun to talk to you.
No, it's great.
Tell everybody again where they can follow you guys at, where they can find the film now if they want to go watch it, and where they can keep up with all your latest news.
Sure. So on Instagram, Twitter, and everything else, we're The Muir Project. We're also on Facebook. We have our own website, www.themuirproject.com. If you just want to download Mama and a Half, it's www.mmaah.com, and that's a direct download. You can purchase it there streaming, or rent it there streaming. We have our store also on our website, and you can buy DVDs and Blu-rays, and
hopefully Noah Tuck will be on there.
Yeah, and someday there will be hopefully a DVD for Noah. There will be a there will be a DVD for Noah Tuck coming soon, hopefully. And that's it, you know.
And Rick and I are at Serena Creative.
Yes, so Serena Creative. You should follow them as well. There's their
little bit of everything on that side. So
yeah. It's a hodgepodge.
You do photography. Yeah. They do stuff for networks, for commercials, promos, videos, everything.
Yeah.
Yes. I have to say, I know Jason said he doesn't, you know, there's a lot of projects you don't like to do, but I'm pretty happy with, we've been blessed. Mm-hmm. With the work that we've been able to get, and then the work we've been able to make.
Yeah.
Too.
So, you work on better stuff than me. So that's part of it. Just kidding. Clients, you didn't hear that.
Yeah. We'll edit that out.
Yeah, we'll edit that
out. All right. That's a wrap. We'll see you guys here again next week. Thanks so much for watching. Bye bye.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.